1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Board meeting together. Howard, Charles, would you like to say the communication?
No, somebody else.
Matt.
Well, that is.
Well, Howard.
That is a paper. I'm under paper duty.
You're appointed.
Have we got a forum? The three of us a forum?
Yeah.
You're appointed.
Is that where you're coming?
We'll do that.
All right. Well, you're all here, Roger. Thank you, good Lord, for this opportunity to gather and be in peace. May everything we do benefit you and everyone at the airport that comes into contact with. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Let's live in this city by the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Roll call.
Terry Crawford is excused. Danny Klein is excused. Jerry.
Here.
President.
Here.
Chuck Savage.
Here.
Yeah, from.
That's that.
Yeah, I get to.
I'm gonna follow with him.
Okay, we will do the consideration of the minutes. Has everybody had a chance to review them?
I know they'd be.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second.
Vote.
Aye.
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 Okay. Unfinished business, I guess this is you, Matt.
Yeah.
Fuel farm.
So, we're just going to combine the fuel farm and the Mitch Field Access Road. The contractor's mobilizing on the fuel farm. The clock is ticking. And last update I heard, the fuel tanks will be delivered middle of December. When you look out there, you can see the survey stakes. They're laying it out and getting ready to do the infrastructure on the site. On the Midfield Access Road,
can you explain that a little bit?
The Midfield Access Road, so if you recall where the sheriff's helicopter pads are located, there's a dead end right there. We're going to tie in that spot with the ramp apron area in front of the terminal. So instead of having to drive around and through the dirt and the grass and the sand, or have the fuel trucks call the tower up to come back around and service those tenants over there, we'll be able to bypass all that with the installation of this road. The bids came in high and over budget. We negotiated with the low bidder, which was Art Walker Construction, and got it down close to about $50,000, and the state is going to kick in some additional money, and we'll have to pay in a little bit as well, but it wouldn't nearly be the full amount. I think we're looking at about a $4,500 increase overall on the entire project, which is only close to $1,000 for us. So
how do you handle the original budgeting? Is that the engineer, city engineer that puts that together?
Yeah, actually the engineer's estimate came from the city engineer on this one. And that was the basis of the grant. It was a unique situation. Normally we request the grant after the bid, but the state had some extra money and we threw it together with the engineer's estimate, and that's where it came in. The mobilization numbers were really high. That and their clearing and grubbing numbers were pretty high too, and that's where we were able to negotiate down somewhat. So, like, they were unreasonably high. No justification for it.
A lot of time that's where they put their profit.
Yeah, well, they scaled it back for us.
Okay. I guess we had the Red Rover lease to.
Yeah. That was emailed out yesterday. To summarize it, Red Rover longtime tenant on the airport. They requested a lease extension. They had to make some fuel tank upgrades. If you recall, they are the only ground lease tenant on the airport with their own fuel farm site, permanent fuel farm site. They had to bring it above ground due to EPA timelines and regulations. They requested some additional years on their lease to amortize that out. Initially, to be honest with you, I was against that. It's my goal to remove all the permanent fuel farms on the airport. I'd rather see it all in one location and wholly maintained and operated by the FBO. We don't want to see individual fuel farms located all around the airport. We sat down with Red Rover and negotiated a draft lease. To summarize those the changes, we're looking at an additional 8 years. The new lease will expire in 2029. The lease rate is unchanged until January 2021. That was the original expiration. From that point on, the new lease rate will be established via an appraisal. We were able to negotiate new fuel flowage rates to match those that are established in the minimum standards and the fee structure that's listed in there. It's currently at 6.5 cents a gallon in the minimum standards, but it's locked in at 3.5 cents per the original Red Rover lease. We don't want to lock that in. We want to maintain flexibility with that number if it goes up or down.
So the city gets a 6.5 cents
per gallon. Yep, of whatever they deliver there. That's a little different than what we're getting from Landmark. Landmark, it's also tied directly into their lease agreement at 3.5 cents per gallon as well. We want to reference it in future agreements. We don't want to lock it in. We want to maintain that flexibility because, after all, it's really a pass down fee to the people that are buying the gas. And the reason why I am favorable to this amendment is because we were able to put a clause in the lease that specifically states that the fuel tank is to be removed at the end of the lease in 2029. We clearly put that in there.
Or any extensions that are up there.
There's all extensions. That's it. 2029, the lease is done. It'll be renewed, but it won't have the fuel tank.
Fuel tank comes out regardless of who goes.
Comes out, yep. So, I'm not looking for a vote on this one, not yet. I'm going to bring this back in the December meeting. Once I have the final version, there are a couple more red line comments that our city attorney has to go through and review. I wanted to bring it up for your comments and discussion.
I think the fuel thing is a good idea with the getting it up to 6.5 cents a gallon. Was actually going to offer that as a compromise if you were going to say we're going to take it out. You know, certainly the city deserves to make something off of it. But otherwise, they would just fuel up in Tampa and never.
Yeah, you know, The self-fueling issue is a contentious one. We want to be able to allow tenants to self-fuel in the airport, but we do have the right to control how they do that. We don't want permanent installations if they want to bring in a fuel truck. The FAA actually allows that. They'd have to make certain arrangements and containment issues and whatnot, but if the permanent installation was there, I fully believe that they would have a fuel truck on site and that they would be doing it themselves. Any tenant on the airport is able to do that. We would much rather that they negotiate a decent price with their FPL.
Do they actually buy the fuel from the fuel farm?
They order it just from the rack in Tampa or wherever they can get it. They need to have it delivered here. It's a 12,000 gallon tank, so they can get a full load of jet fuel.
other questions regarding the Red Rover lease?
I got just one quick one.
Sure.
Is there a preference for doing your consumer price index rather than just going to set them out as far as increases for rental return?
I am preferable to just a flat 2-3% annual increase. It's easy to calculate that. We do it so many different ways right now. Red Rover was happy with the CPI-based index.
I was just curious. I mean, I didn't know because you start mixing them.
There are six different ways that leases are calculated.
If you're going to be a CPI, you don't know really what you're looking at in the future, whereas if you've got a flat 1-1.5% or whatever, you know what your costs are going to be.
Yeah.
And make it a little easier all the way around.
I agree. That was floated, but again, they'd rather the CPI, and since we have existing CPI-based leases on the airport almost as recent as a year ago, tough to say no.
Right.
But we got the fuel tank to come out in 2029, so I'm happy about that.
That's just around the corner.
8 years beyond their original expiration. So
that was probably two questions.
Okay.
Moving on, staffing update.
Yeah, we're still manned down. We are exploring combining an airport operations position with an airport firefighting position. Currently, the fire department has about 15, maybe 18 people that they keep trained for ARF that meets our Part 139 airport certification requirements. Realistically, we only need airport rescue firefighting for 8 operations a year. It's a lot of money to spend on 15 to 18 people training and annual current training and the staff time involved in that. If we can bring somebody on board on the airport that also does airport operations for 90% of the time, 10% ARF, we can eliminate training some of those other firefighters, save the city some money, and give us a little bit more capability on the airport. Having a firefighter based on the airport at all times, as opposed to 3 miles away, I think we'll serve our customers a little bit better in that respect.
Will they park the truck here?
I would have the truck parked here.
Yep. That's good.
Yep.
When they had the crash, it took about 20 minutes for them to get here.
It took some time. It's a first step in the right direction, having one person on staff doing that. But there's some union questions involved in that. HR is looking into it. I really hope to have a resolution on this by the end of next week. I need to get moving forward on it.
Collins Foundation, what's that?
They're coming a week from tomorrow. They called me up a couple weeks ago and said that they had an opening. Could we accommodate them? I could never say no to these airplanes flying in. I don't think we'll have nearly the crowds that we've had in years past when we actually had months in advance to prepare the advertising and the promotion of the event. Needless to say, we do have a couple sponsors that were able to pick up their hotel rooms. The airport will accommodate the rental cars, we'll pick up the porta potties and things like that. So we'll make it easy on the Collins Foundation. They're generally self-sufficient anyway with their barricades, the security around the aircraft and their personnel. So we're excited to have them next week. Make sure you come out and check them out.
EAA fly in.
And then in the middle of January, the EAA will have their Wings Over Ocala event. Seems like every other year. Their aluminum overcast B-17 will be here. The Ford Tri-Motor, both of them will be giving rides for a nominal fee. We'll have some other World War II type aircraft fly in. We may also have some National Guard helicopters come in as well. There'll be a car show. We'll have food, music, you name it. So looking forward to that event as well. So mark that on your calendars. We've got these posters here too. There's some in front of you. If you know people that can hang those up at our businesses, if you need more, let me know. I'll print them out for you.
Director report.
Fuel and ops. September. For avgas sales on the month, we were quite a bit higher than we were in September of 2013. September 2013, we had no deliveries of avgas, and even with only a 4,000 gallon or so delivery in September, we were quite a bit higher. Jet fuel, not so bad, 2.2% over September of 2013. Overall, we're 11.5% on the year over 2013. So this would be the third straight year something catastrophic happens. It'll be the third straight year that we've had an increase in our fuel sales. That's fantastic news. On the operations side, operations are actually trending down. We'll be lucky if we get close to 50,000 for the end of the year for 2014. So our jet fuel sales are actually increasing substantially, but our operations are still trending down.
Is that gallons or is that just volume or revenue?
It's gallons. These numbers are all gallons. Yeah, avgas is relatively even. I'm missing a column here. I apologize. Jet fuel is 11.5% over this time last year, and I don't have the total for the year-to-date total numbers. But those are gallons. So jet fuel gallons are leading the increase in our overall fuel sales. And that's evident by the increase in the air taxi and charter and IFR type traffic, which are typically jets or jet powered aircraft. On the fuel price comparison, these three columns represent avgas. February, July, and October samplings. The numbers are different, but the margin seems to be relatively the same. Landmark Ocala is roughly in the same position compared to all the other.
I can't really read the
the numbers.
Seven.
We're currently at $7.36 a gallon for full serve avgas.
And what's the people up say? Yeah, is that Brooksville?
$4.90 at Zephyr Hills and Winter Haven. Those are the lowest that were sampled.
What's Leesburg?
Leesburg is $5.60. So this is full service avgas.
Well, and are you comparing full service to, say, Leesburg at full service?
Yeah, it's all full service comparisons. On the self-serve avgas, again, the margins are relatively the same. The positioning in the sample list. Right now, our self-serve avgas prices are $5.16 a gallon. Leesburg's at $4.35.
Yeah. Fort Myers Page on there?
Yeah, Fort Myers Page Field is at $4.55 again.
for me to fly down there and get fuel.
And then on the jet fuel, again, the margins look relatively the same. Jet fuel at Landmark Ocala is $6.84. And since you were asking about Leesburg, they are...
Up.
Down.
Down.
There we are. Thank you. $5.60.
That's a little high.
Yeah. You're...
I'm closer.
Actually, I'm closer. So that's that on the fuel prices. I do have another bit of information for you. The Shelter FBO group has made an offer to buy the Landmark Ocala location. They have a 90-day due diligence period to go through the books and the numbers and take a look. Their offer is contingent upon the city agreeing to a new lease with them. And they are agreeable to contributing to the terminal project, which, if you'll recall, is significantly different than the last purchase offer that Landmark Ocala had, where they just wanted to buy the FBO and get a new lease, but not do anything with the terminal. That was
The same group?
That was the Stavola group. This is significantly different because Shelter is willing to put cash up front towards the terminal and other future developments as well. It bodes, it's an interesting time to look at that. We don't have the matching funds to build the terminal, and we've got the grant coming in 2018. Shelter has the ability to move that forward and accelerate that schedule. So we will continue to talk to Shelter about it, negotiate a lease. It is my intent to bring that lease back to the airport board in the December meeting. I think it's December 11th.
So does that mean that Shelter made an offer to Landmark and Landmark is entertaining it and then the city has to approve it?
So Shelter made an offer to Landmark to buy out this location only. Landmark has agreed to it from my understanding. Shelter has 90 days to do their due diligence, and part of that is contingent upon the city agreeing to a new lease for Shelter. So the city and Shelter will negotiate the terms of that lease, which will be brought back to the board on December 11th, and then that following Tuesday it'll go to city council for their approval. That's the time frame.
First, your motion to appear.
You said you got motion.
Go ahead, sorry.
You said it was matching funds. What year?
So, we pushed the terminal project back to 2018. Roughly 2017 and 2018, I should say. It's $2 million in grant money. That requires a $2 million match. And this is to construct a new terminal building and to demo the old one.
Do you have to front the $2 million to get the matching grant when it comes in?
If they want a new lease. That's part of the discussion.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Any discussion from the other board members? Person question to appear.
Paul? Yeah, make this official type of thing. I don't do anything behind someone's back. Paul Nearing, President, General Manager of Quest Avionics. I know I've been talking with Matt, and I think his hands are tied, but we have a situation where our gates aren't working properly for our business, for our people to come in, our deliveries, and I'm going to go before the council next meeting. And maybe they can do something with the city lawyers on this to get the contractor, whoever's put the low bid installation of this stuff out there, whatever it is, because it's been over 4 months since we can't get our customers in. They're coming through flight school when they're coming in from the street side. deliveries are going through there too, and it just makes it difficult for everybody around. I think 4 months is long enough to get it resolved. It's not, the people aren't responding to that at all, so I thought maybe going before city council and maybe they can get the city lawyer to intervene. I don't know, but I'm just kind of tired of trying to work it all out.
I can understand. I had to walk through their flight school myself.
Yeah, they.
So we had someone put in a new system.
It was NewTek is the company that installed the system. They're based in Orlando, and it's been troublesome to get them up here to service the gates on time. There was a while where they went through a transition, not to make excuses for them, but it has not been a pleasant experience dealing with them. Part of the problem is we don't have a lot of local support for it. Our IT department in the city is actually upside down, and it looks like we'll be contracting out those services. Trying to figure out a way to get the customers through the fence into Quest Avionics while still abiding by our Part 139 certification requirements through an open hangar is a problem. And the gate system is not adequate. Something has to be done with it. So I respect Paul's frustration. Maybe this will light a fire underneath it.
Well, I mean, before the lightning strike, we had a closed-circuit TV monitor system and buzzer system that worked perfect. They would come to a walk-up, they'd buzz, we'd see them, we could talk to them, we could unlock the gate, they'd come in, we could see them close the gate, they'd come in, we would watch them, you know, walk them out, or watch them go out, open the gate for them, and everything is fine. They put in a wireless system, which doesn't work.
Yeah.
I think it's designed for a house, but when you deal with the wireless frequencies, anybody goes and takes a wireless phone, not a cell phone, but a wireless phone into a hangar and steps into, gets 50 feet away from the base, it doesn't work. And that's the way it is with that wireless system. Sometimes we can see the person there, but the gate doesn't work at all right now. It's the electromagnetic device is broken, so it's chained up. We get deliveries twice a day, sometimes three times a day, and walk-in customers, and it's hard to get them through. They go through flight school all the time, which is not convenient for them either.
Is this a little bit project?
No, actually, it was not a low bid scenario. It was a service-based RFP process that was 100% funded by the state.
I'm sure the city attorney could write a letter saying that if they've got 30 days to fix it, or they will have it done and charge it back to them.
Yeah.
Any other person wish to hear? Board members.
Good.
Just one question. Is there anything we can do to help the situation?
I have a motion from the board that the city really needs to consider and expedite this, because it's creating all kinds of problems.
But definitely, Port Jerry, it's hard to get this airplane. We'll go anywhere, the gate works or not, right?
No.
Okay.
It's just a fixture.
I'll call them again. If I can speak to them, I'll have them. I'll see if I can narrow down a date when you can come up and actually get it fixed and install the original equipment instead of the wireless stuff. And if he doesn't respond to my messages again, then
send
him a nasty gram and actually
probably word follow.
Probably copy the state since they were in on the funding.
Well, have you just talked or have you written letters?
I'm sorry?
Have you written letters or just talked?
Emails and phone calls.
No, certified return receipt request and CC the state. Because he's making money probably on other projects the same way. So if you cut off his meal ticket, he might respond.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you from our side of the construction business, if we have a sub that's not responding, we write a letter and give them X number of days to get it corrected.
Mm-hmm.
Or we're going back to hire someone else to do it and charge them back the difference. And that generally works.
Plus a carry cost. Plus a carry cost. That's worth 18%.
So.
Okay.
Well, if there's no other comments, we have a motion.
I second it.
I'll second it. I guess that's the turn.
Okay.
Third meeting's adjourned.
All right. We'll see everybody in December.
When?
December. There is no meeting in November.
What's the date of December?
11.
It's full holiday plus 4.
Oh, so you get to 18, you get to...